pest control company got called out to a house and they could not believe what they found in the walls. Here, listen to this news report.
Workers say the woodpecker was making holes to store its food and the food kept falling into spaces in the walls. Then when they cut into the wall, 700 pounds of acorns came flowing out, enough to fill 8 large garbage bags.
If you haven't seen this on the news yet, you have to look at the visual of 700 pounds of acorns pouring out of a wall in somebody's house.
Yeah, I mean, it basically makes like the whole floor like 6 inches deep full of acorns, right?
It's crazy.
You know, it's funny though. Animals, obviously, they don't stop, right? So that woodpecker's just like, my instinct is I got to get my acorn storage up here. And then he drops it in the wall. And he's never able to retain it and get it back from there. So he's just like, man, I got to get to work.
Like this poor guy's life work is gone in a matter of instinct. Like in a minute, right. Like just bringing out garbage bags full of all his delicious food.
It's absolutely crazy, right? I would imagine, though, it was some sort of good insulation for the room, too, right? Like what's that room going to be like now once they empty out the walls of this stuff?
I don't know. But I was thinking about like, what's the strangest thing you ever found in your house? So yeah. You move into your new home and all of a sudden, you uncover something. What was it?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty, you know, normal to find like rodents or whatever, something that's, you know, deceased in your attic or in your garage or whatever. I just remember when I pulled up and we bought our first house here. The guy that had sold it to us was like a hoarder, very strange individual. And he had emptied out virtually everything of the house. But in the garage was a pink suitcase. And in that suitcase, it was full of like old newspapers. There was magazines in there, but there was also like his nostalgic like baseball game stuff and pictures of when he was a kid going to games with his dad.
And he just left it there?
Just left it there.
So random.
Yeah, yeah. And when I contacted the realtor to tell him that I had it, they never actually followed up to get it back.
Wow.
Didn't want it back.
I remember we moved into our current house. There's like a basement part that's kind of like hidden. And our house is old. Our house was built in 1938. And it's like a section that looks like almost like a cave. So there was something blocking it. And finally, we moved it to go like in and whatever and to check it out.
Yeah.
And all was in there was antique old Budweiser bottles and cans. And all I kept wondering was like, was this the husband that was hiding it? Was it a teenager that was hiding it from his parents?
Right, drinking in the cave in the basement.
Who was living in this tiny cave drinking these old cans and bottles of Budweiser?
You had an underground brewery.
I guess so. Jimmy Fallon tweeted out last night that he wanted your 3-word predictions for the Super Bowl. 3 words, that's it. And I was like, you know what? We're going to rip that off 100%. We're going to do that.
Right, why not? Do that tomorrow, yes.
Yeah. Our right. Super Bowl predictions. What do you think is going to happen on Sunday during the big game? So what I tweeted back to Fallon was third quarter shocker. Because, hey, guys, listen. It can mean anything can happen.
Right.
I mean, anything can happen.
What is the definition of a shocker, well, right? What is the threshold of a shocker?
You got to say this. Did you see that?
Oh. It could be anything. A commercial. Could be the game, could be absolutely anything.
Producer John, yeah. Producer Sean, mm-hmm. Raven, what do you think would be a third quarter shocker? The lights could go off. That happened 1 year at the Super Bowl.
Right. Not likely to take place.
Okay. Beyonce and Jay-Z are going to show up, but that'll happen during halftime.
Right. I don't think that's going to happen during the third quarter.
What if they show up on the big, what's it called?
The Kiss Stream, the Jumbotron?
Yeah. Okay.
That would be a shocker.
I don't know if that's shocking. Okay. I don't know. I mean, there'll be other celebrities there.
Producer John, your 3 words. Super Bowl prediction.
Okay, Kelce family brawl. I'm calling it. All right, they've been acting all nice in the media. They've gotten mom involved. It's a nice little family. It's all an act. It's an act. It's going to come down to the wire. We're going to be in the fourth quarter. Maybe, Anna, it'll be in the third quarter.
Maybe.
But there will be a Kelce family brawl. In fact, that's my third quarter shocker. And my 3-word prediction.
That would be amazing if that happened.
I don't want it to be the brothers. I want it to be the wives, the families, and the stands.
It could be anybody with the last name Kelce.
Because you know they're going to pan to Donna Kelce, the mom, like 1,000 times during the game and show her on the screen, right? So what I want to see is the wives, with a baby on their hip fighting, and the mom is in between trying to push them apart. That would be fun.
Baby on the hip.
Producer Sean, go for it. Your 3-word Super Bowl prediction.
All right, ready here?
Yeah.
Tom Brady announcement. Tom Brady's going to use the clout of the Super Bowl to keep himself relevant. I mean, he just did a thirst trap photo. Like, the dude's just trying everything he can to keep himself in the news and the media. Maybe it's going to be him saying he's going to be a coach. Maybe he's going to unretire again. He's going to use the Super Bowl to make himself relevant still.
Do you think it'll happen during the third quarter?
You know,
it
could.
I just want to say that if you haven't seen the thirst trap Tom Brady photo, he just posted a random picture of him in his underwear with no shirt on. It's so weird. I have never approved of anything that man has done. I approve of that picture.
What? And this is why I disapprove.
See, what?
I guess he said he lost a bet, but who did you lose a bet to?
Okay, Tom.
Right? Like, that doesn't make much
sense.
Lost
a bet to give the internet bedroom eyes.
I don't think he's going to do that, but you know what? A-Rod did that during the World Series a number of years ago, and so, I mean, I guess it's possible. Mine's going to be pretty easy. Rocky wins again. I say Philadelphia takes this thing. It's going to be surprising to some, but they're going to beat Kansas City. Rocky wins again. That's what I say.
That's a really boring prediction.
I'm sorry. That's boring for you?
Yeah, there's no way that can happen.
I hope a light pole falls over in the third quarter so you get your shocking event,
I
guess.
That wasn't three words. It's like you weren't even paying attention.
Rocky wins again. It's three words.
Ugh.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you crazy right now? Let's just get it off your chest. Call 1-800-330-9999 and fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Jose.
Hey, so I just left the ER here. At 34, my kids gave me mono, the kissing disease. And of course, now they don't want me to touch them. But when they're all gooey and sticky, they can touch me with their dirty little school hands.
You hit the nail on the head. When we're sick, they can't come near us. My older daughter has a sore throat. Like, she wants to be held. I'm like, yep. I don't want your sore throat, girl. But I have to hold you. Because I'm your mom.
Oh, my God. Don't make me laugh. My throat is killing me.
I'll feel better, man.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I appreciate it.
Mono's no joke, too.
Yeah, if your kids give you mono, that's all I need to know about them.
Aw. Tim, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, on the way to work today, I saw this dude doing the nastiest drum solo playing Rock Band in his car.
I don't know if that's all I need to know about you. You're starting the day off right.
It looks like the dude rules. He pushed over the guitar looking like Eddie Van Halen and stuff. It was sick.
You know, it's like trying to read somebody's lips, though. Because when I see that, I immediately say, what is he playing? Right? What's he listening to? I want to know what he's playing along with instantly.
I'm sure if you just lower your radio, you could probably hear three cars.
Right, they're rocking out.
Shane, that's all I need to know about you.
If you leave all your junk on the sidewalk and you expect someone to come behind you and pick it up instead of taking it to the dump yourself, that's all I need to know about you.
I have a neighbor that does this.
Well, so it depends on what you define as junk.
Yeah.
I did this recently.
Okay.
And remember when I said I was never putting anything on Facebook Marketplace ever again in my life?
Right.
So I did. Facebook Market, because I was cleaning out my basement. They were repainting my basement. I needed to get a lot of stuff out. End tables. It was a desk. It was
like
old
random
weights.
Items, right?
Just random items.
Yeah.
And I put up a thing and I put my address and I said, until 4:30 p.m. today, all these items will be outside my house. It's free. First come, first serve. Don't message me. And after 4:30, it's all going
consider
to the
dump. Consider it all gone.
Yeah. Every single thing was gone. Kids' bikes. I mean, literally, everything was gone. The cars just kept coming. It is a way to get rid of stuff. The problem is what's considered junk and what's considered actually valuable things.
Well, right. And then the timeline. So, I mean, what was the crappiest item you had out there?
A broken bass fan.
Okay. So my neighbor right now, there's only one left, but about 4 or 5 days ago, he put two coolers out. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they're like old coolers. They're coolers. I'm sure they still keep things relatively cool. But obviously, he's putting them out to the trash because he's replaced it with a better cooler, if I had to guess.
Yes.
He has the sidewalk in front of his house, but he has like the entrance to the sidewalk, too. You know, like where there's a ramp.
Yeah.
Like to it.
Yeah.
That's where he puts the stuff.
Oh.
There was 40 mile per hour winds the other day. I mean, somebody might have picked up one of those coolers, or it might have been just blown away
into a tree.
But one of them's still out there.
Oh, I feel like you have to put a time limit on how long you leave something out
it's
there.
It's been 4 days, man.
Four days seems too long.
Yeah, Greg, yeah. Wheel it back into your garage or throw it in your recycle bin.
Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, and you're getting ready for all your snacks. Sure, you got your wings. Yeah, we got the dips. But what are some different kinds of Super Bowl snacks that will get all your guests talking? Food Network's Chef Plum. You can find them online at chefplum.com. Plum, what are we making this Sunday?
So Super Bowl is one of those favorite times of year for all the food people in the world because it's kind of like Thanksgiving, but it's the Super Bowl. It's become a time where we make the most amazing food. Our friends come over. But my thing is you want to have one hand free to hold that cold one in, Anna. That's what I want.
Mm.
here's the best way to do it. Let's think about things we can eat with one hand. So garlic knots, right? Something that you think about for, you know, maybe an appetizer for pizza or for an Italian meal, but a delicious, delicious appetizer for a Super Bowl Sunday. You can get pre-made pizza dough right from the grocery store. Let it proof up. So put it in a bowl and let that bowl sit covered with plastic for about an hour so it comes to room temp. And then just cut it in long pieces, roll it into a knot, and here's the best part. Bake it in the oven, take it out while it's hot, toss it with fresh garlic, fresh butter, and a pinch of thyme and a little bit of parsley. These things are awesome for Super Bowl. And we're drinking beer, so anything to help kind of satiate that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I do like garlic knots. The only thing with the garlic knots is then I'm talking in your face. And I'm giving you the garlic.
You smell like it for like 2 days afterwards.
Did you see that touchdown? Yeah. Oh my gosh, this game is very exciting.
But I think you want something to kind of help with that, you know, the drinking during the event. And it's long and drawn out. You know, I don't know. I like garlic knots.
Me too. What else?
You mentioned dips, and you guys know I love a great dip. Let's talk about queso dip. So fun thing about queso dip, really easy to make. Warm some cream, warm some butter, add some cheese, whisk it up. Very, very simple. I like to mix cheddar and American cheese because we are American, and actually that American cheese helps keep it from getting too solid. But what you can do with this, so that's a base. Let's throw some bacon in there. Let's throw some jalapenos in there. Let's change the whole thing up and throw a can of those Rotel tomatoes with chilies in there. Or if you want to get really wacky up in there, throw some peanut butter in it. I'm telling you, peanut butter and cheese are best friends.
Really?
I swear to God. It's the weirdest thing I've ever said. They love each other. Love each other. Mm. But keep it warm the whole time. And you can dip bread in it. You can dip veggies in it. You can dip all kinds of stuff in it. Very, very easy. And it makes everybody happy. Because who doesn't love a good queso dip?
Queso dip, garlic knots. Give me one more plum.
Yeah, let's talk about skewers, one of my favorite things to do. Skewers are easy. Again, I want to eat with one hand. So give me something on a stick that I can just bite and eat very, very simply. But here's the thing. If you're going to make skewers, make sure you soak them overnight. If you don't soak them overnight, they tend to burn, and that's what makes them snap. So you want those skewers to be wet before you use them. And here's another fun tip. If you're going to soak them in something flavorful. I always put mine in beer first and let them soak up that beer flavor.
Mmm, I do like that. And that goes right with the warm peanut butter, too. Take that meat, dip it right in the hot peanut butter. Yeah.
I mean, I'm running with those garlic knots for sure. Sounds easy enough for even me to make. All right, Chef Plum, you can find him online at chefplum.com. And Plum, our restaurant road trip episode is coming out.
That was some meal.
Chef Plum was kind enough to have Raven and I join him on one of his episodes of Restaurant Road Trip. If people want to check that out, where do they go, Plum?
Just go to chefplum.com for all the info. You guys were fantastic. Thanks for hanging out with us. It was really fun.
Eminem's daughter, Haley Jade, she got engaged this past week. She's 27. She's been with her fiance for a long time. I think they started dating back in 2016.
It's funny how you feel like you know her just because you've heard her name in so many songs.
Right.
And different stuff between her and her mom. So it's kind of funny how that works.
She's built a life outside of like all the trauma of being Eminem's daughter rapped about.
I would hope so. She's 27 years old. Right.
She's a podcaster. She's an influencer. Like, she's doing all right. And the guy that she's engaged to, his name is Evan McClintock. Normal guy, graduated from Michigan State. Like, he's got a LinkedIn, but otherwise you really can't find anything else about him. He's just like a normal average guy, you
know? That's good.
But all I kept thinking about was how intimidating it must be to ask Eminem to marry his daughter. Yeah. Like, do you even do that? Like, you go up to him and you're like, hey, Slim Shady. Do you think he calls him Slim Shady? No.
No. Mr. Mathers.
Mr. Mathers.
Mr. Mathers.
Hey, Mr. Slim Shady Mathers. Yes.
Can I? Mr. Slim? Mr. Mathers?
Mr. Shady?
Yes.
Can I just have a word with you? I'd like to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage. It's got to be tough, right?
Well, I think because he's a normal guy, I think it's easier. If he actually wanted to be some sort of artist or, you know, he had started dating Eminem's daughter as kind of like a leg up or a way to get into something, then I think it would be, you know, more pressing.
All right. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, if you had to ask a celebrity for their daughter's hand in marriage, who would be the most terrifying celebrity to ask? Hmm. John, you're first.
Christian Bale. Have you heard the way he like lit up on that? Like just on the one guy who was walking around in the background of one of his scenes.
Hey, listen, man, the lights are set. The lights were set.
Listen, you know what? You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy, but we're done professionally. Okay?
The lights were set. Leave the man alone.
I'm just saying.
Stop moving around in the background. I'm busy. I'm Christian Bale.
If you're getting that mad at the guy who's like working on your movie, how mad are you going to get at the guy who's trying to marry your daughter?
It's a good point.
Fair enough. It was a bad day. Fair
Sean,
enough.
Sean, how are you?
Oh, Mike Tyson for sure.
That's a I mean, I feel like Mike Tyson is a good guy until he's not a good guy.
Right, you know, until that moment.
Right,
until,
like, right. Remember he snapped on that guy on the plane? The guy kept trying to take a picture
of
him.
Hey, man. I feel like even, like, if he was going to give you the talk of, like, don't hurt her, and, like, oh, or else I'll do something, like, I would just be terrified of the guy.
Yeah.
I would not want to ask. Yeah. No, I would just date that woman forever. We're not getting married.
Yeah, it's true. But I do love Mike Tyson when he starts talking about how vulnerable he is. I'm sucked right in. I love it. I love his stuff.
On our Facebook page, Tabby wrote The Rock. The Rock's a good one. Like, I feel like The Rock is such a nice guy, though. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be firm. He's going to look you in the face, and you're going to know that when he tells you, listen, this is for life, don't you? You know that he means it.
And he's got those beautiful girls. And, like, if you ever look at the Instagram photos of how much he loves his little girls?
I wouldn't even look.
Oh, my gosh.
I wouldn't even look because I'd be afraid he'd catch me looking and then I'd be in trouble. I'm not doing that.
David also wrote on our Facebook page, Donald Trump, scariest celebrity to ask for. I wonder if oh, my God, I forgot his name now.
Jared Kushner?
Yeah,
or whatever.
If he asked for Ivanka's hand.
I feel like if you're tough enough to deal with Ivanka, you're tough enough to deal with her dad.
Probably true.
I think you probably are.
Raven, who do you think?
Ice Cube. Something about Ice Cube ever since growing up, listening to N.W.A. and then Ice Cube after it. And even now, like, I mean, I know he's a nice guy, but he's got a scowl that's just really intimidating. Also, Mel Gibson. The Weapon was on yesterday. There was a marathon of it. Not Mel Gibson when he was younger, but Mel Gibson now, like, he's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what he's going to say. I don't even want to get filmed standing next to Mel Gibson. That
hand in hand with any Baldwin father.
Right. You just don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
You don't know.
But there's actually a message on our Facebook page about this, and it got me thinking, do you even ask anymore for someone's hand in marriage? It's an interesting comment on our Facebook page, and it kind of started like a firestorm there, people arguing back and forth. If you missed it, we were talking about how Eminem's daughter, Haley Jade, just got engaged to like a normal guy. They've been together for a few years. She's 27 years old. But what it must be like to have to ask Eminem for his daughter's hand in marriage. So we said, who's the scariest celebrity to have to ask to marry their daughter? But Chanel wrote under it, it's 2023. You don't need someone's dad's permission to marry their daughter. And then everybody started arguing underneath about whether or not you should do it or not.
Whether it's chivalrous or whether or not it's antiquated and you're trying to possess me and this, that, whatever. Can't people just do it because it makes dad feel good for a minute or mom?
Well, it makes me start thinking, like, do people still do that? So my husband asked my father to marry me. Mm-hmm. I mean, my dad... Like, my parents are from Italy.
Yeah.
He had to.
Yeah.
Like, there was no world.
You wouldn't be allowed.
That would have been the end of it. Like,
right. If you announced to your family, I'm married now and I live in this house, they would have went to your house and took you back.
Yeah. They would have been like, excuse me.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
They would have been like, no. She comes with us.
And the first thing my dad said to him when he asked was if he wanted to take our last name instead. Because I married a Polish guy and he was like, well... Okay, but do you want our last... Because it's like a strong Italian name.
Sure.
Anna, you know. Now, here's the thing. The tradition is that, you know, he had to ask for permission, right?
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden he said to me, you know, this is America. You could keep your last name if you don't want to take it. And I give Paul a lot of credit because he said, no, I'm going to keep my last name. And I think she wants mine. I think it'll be okay.
I'd like her to take mine. Right.
The baller move from your dad, though.
Yeah.
Right.
That's baller move. Right. I mean, you knew it was going to happen, right? I mean, meet her father, right?
Sforza. It's a nice Italian name.
Nice name.
Producer John, did you ask for your divorced, but did you ask for her hand?
For my ex, I love how you, like, danced around that. That was great.
Well, you know, it had to be said.
I didn't know how to say it.
I didn't, though, and my ex's dad is Italian, and only one generation removed, too, so, like, not too far away. I absolutely, in retrospect, no, it really didn't matter, but no, I mean, like, I should have. I totally should have. And I didn't because I felt silly. I felt like stupid doing it. Like, you know, my ex is, to her credit, a very progressive person. And I was like, nah, she wouldn't be into.
Did you ever have that discussion with your ex, though? Did she say maybe you should have or whatever?
She definitely was like, maybe you should have. Maybe you should have done that. Because her family is very, they're very conservative. They're very old school.
Sure.
So, you know, but.
Right.
Raven, how about you?
I didn't ask my first wife's family because her father was deceased and she did not like her stepfather. I should have asked her mother, I suppose.
Yeah.
But they weren't very supportive of me in that relationship anyways. And when that fell apart, they had the gall to call me up and say, hey, can you help us out? And I was like, you're going to be out of your mind. I did ask my second wife's father while we were frying the turkey on Thanksgiving out front of my house.
And what did he say?
Well, he said yes.
Okay.
Well,
yeah, it worked out well.
Yeah. Right. Either way, I was going to marry her. But yeah, so he said yes. Right.
What, did you feel
he said he would be honored.
He would be, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I had a practice run like John the first time, so I didn't feel as uncomfortable the second time because there was parts of me that said, you know, I should have done it or whatever. It's really just a thing you have to tell yourself, let's get over it and go.
If you missed it, we were talking about how Eminem's daughter got engaged and how hard it must have been for her fiancé to ask Eminem for his daughter's hand in marriage. But somebody wrote on our Facebook page, it's 2023, nobody asks for permission to get married anymore. Is that true? Did your partner ask for permission from your family? And what happened in that exchange? 1-800-330-9999. Grace, did your spouse ask for permission to marry you?
He did. Yeah, I come from like a Southern conservative household, so absolutely.
How did he do it?
He has my dad's number, texted him about meeting in person. It was like very important that it be in person. And they had a beer and he asked him and my dad said that he would get back to him in a day. I think it was just him. But then he said yes. So
it was fine. I mean, imagine, like, I'll let you know in 24 hours, the longest 24 hours of your life. Like, what do you mean? Like, what are you going to do, check my references?
Well, I got to put out one of them Google surveys to the family.
And I had no idea. Yeah. I had no idea until way later.
So funny.
You know, it's funny. Like, sometimes they know, like, it's pending. And as soon as you get that text or your message, you're like, oh, other times they have very little idea. It can be a big surprise. So,
yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Nick. Did you ask your spouse's family for permission to marry him?
No, actually, not to be too big of a downer here, but we have rocky relationships with our families. So we actually just eloped. figured it was easier. Didn't have to deal with all the, you know, the question marks and opinions. So, yeah.
It is tough when you bring together two families, even when everybody gets along great and they have the best intentions. Like, you know, who makes the invitation list? Who controls, you know, what we plan with this part of the party? When you have families that are really involved in your lives, it's a blessing, but in some ways it leads to some more problems, right? Especially when you're merging the two of those. So, yeah, I get it, man. If you don't want to check off with people, see ya, get on a plane.
Were they mad about it, though?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we have a lot of other things that
they're mad about.
Yeah.
Starting with the fact that you're together, right? That's the thing.
Exactly.
That's where they're starting from some of their anger, right?
Right. Unfortunately.
Kayla, did your spouse ask for permission from your parents to marry you?
So he asked my dad in kind of the weirdest way. My sister is a singer and she was doing a concert one night and my husband, my now husband, he was so nervous to ask my dad. He was like, I know, I'll just drive to the show and I'll ask him really quick. So he like drove to the show and asked my dad right before the concert. And my dad was like, sure, I guess. And then after the show, my dad called him and was like, wait a second, what did you just ask me?
That's
so it was
weird.
Good to catch him off guard.
Yeah.
Do that as he's mowing his lawn. Hey!
It's like when you serve somebody with divorce papers.
Right.
You just show up unexpectedly.
Right. You pop up out of nowhere.
It's like the repo man. You show up like when no one's expecting you to come.
Right.
Right.
Michaela, did your spouse ask your parents for permission to marry you?
Yeah, he did. He did. And my father was like, oh, my God, it's finally happening. I'm finally getting rid of her. She's getting off my taxes. She's getting out of my bank account. She's getting out of my house. Just take her now. Can y'all get married at the courthouse tomorrow morning?
She was 19 years old. You're like, get her out of here.
Dads think they're so funny, right?
Right.
Although I'll adopt you if I can get the tax break. I don't know what dad was looking to get rid of at that point. I want you in my taxes. No question.
Oh, my God.
Maybe you love watching the Super Bowl, but you're not really 100% certain what's going on with the teams or any of the backstory. Don't worry, because I have no idea either. Tom Rock from Newsday, he's going to fill me in on three things I can say at my Super Bowl party that will make me sound smarter, and you can totally do it too.
Tom, you are our sports expert. I mean, no matter what room that you walk into, you've always schooled us pretty well. We love the food. We love the party. We just don't want to sound like an idiot.
That's fine. I'm here to help.
All right, so what do I say? First thing, do I talk about Patrick Mahomes' wife, Instagram, Brittany? Because it's great. That I can talk about all day.
Well, that you can talk about, but you can say, I remember Patrick Mahomes' father used to pitch for the Mets. Because he used to be with the Mets. He was a baseball player back in 1999 and 2000 seasons when the Mets were good. They were going to the playoffs. They went to the World Series. Pat Mahomes, as he was called then, his father, was one of the big relief pitchers for the Mets then. And actually, Patrick used to go out in the outfield and shag fly balls with the rest of the team during batting practice and before the game. So before Patrick Mahomes was a quarterback and a Super Bowl winning quarterback and an MVP quarterback, he was actually a ball boy for the Mets. And he was actually drafted by the Tigers right out of high school. He decided to go to play football instead.
Wow. You know, so these things that I never knew, and I consider myself a sports fan, and I didn't know. Was he a dual sport guy in high school? I guess he must have been.
He played both sports in high school and was obviously good enough to be drafted right out of high school in Texas.
Wow.
All right, great. That's one thing I can easily throw into a conversation and sound really intelligent. Yeah. What else?
You got to be rooting for Kelce, right?
Well, because they're both on both teams. That I know,
there you
right?
go. Yes. That's right. That's right. So you say I'm rooting for Kelce. That's the easy one. And then nobody needs to know which one you're talking about. Obviously, Jason Kelce is the center for the Eagles. Travis Kelce is a tight end for the Chiefs. There, as you've probably heard a zillion times by now, this is the first Super Bowl with two brothers competing against each other. But by the time the game starts, everyone's already going to be sick of hearing about them. But, you know, you drop the Kelce line, it shows you have an awareness of one of the biggest narratives of the week.
Okay.
You know what I like, too, is you can walk up to any circle of people. Doesn't matter. Like, if you've got one click on one side of the room and another click on the other side of the room, you can just walk up and be like, Kelce!
That's right. That's right. Covers everything. All right. So the game goes on and sort of getting close to the end there. And you got to say, you know, it's almost time for my off-season darkness retreat. And the darkness retreat, of course, is Aaron Rodgers, who's reportedly going to be spending about 4 days in sensory isolation to contemplate his football future.
That's a fun line. All right, now, as you know, Tom, we like to just give some examples and see if Anna can use a couple of these in a conversational way, and then you approve it or disapprove.
Look at Patrick Mahomes out there. You know he's got a new baby at home? Well, you know what? I wonder if his baby's going to be anything like him because he grew up in the Mets outfield. You know his dad used to be a relief pitcher for the Mets?
That was stunningly good, yes.
Yeah. What else do you have, Anna?
All right, how about this? You know, the Kelce brothers. There's one on each team. It's the first time this ever happened. Brothers going against each other in the Super Bowl. But the bigger question I have for everybody here, which one do you think is hotter?
It doesn't resonate with me as well as the first one, but listen, they can't all be home runs unless they're Patrick Mahomes' dad.
You could also be rooting for Jason Kelce because his wife is expecting a baby any day now, and she's here in Phoenix and brought her OBGYN with her just in case she goes into labor on site at the Super Bowl.
Imagine I brought my OBGYN to work with me just in case.
You'd be a pretty big deal if you were doing that.
Yeah.
All right, third scenario.
Listen, when this game's over, you know what we're going to do? Mm. We're going to shut off all the lights. Everybody's going to be real quiet. We're going to sit here in silence for 4 days. It's going to be our own little off-season doctor's retreat, just like Aaron Rodgers is doing, that wacko.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
What'd you do this week to earn your margarita? It's never easy to be in charge. And it doesn't matter if you're a mom or you're a dad or if you have students or if your children have four legs and are furry and they're animals. Mm. It's just never easy. It's never easy.
To be in charge is tough. Yeah.
You can call 1-800-330-9999. This week, my toddler Dakota is a handful. We talk about her at length, and she throws tantrums, I would say, on average, once to twice a day. It's just kind of part of our normal life at this point.
Sure.
But the other day, I was surprised because she loves milkshakes. Like, she really does. They're her favorite thing. So when we were driving, and, you know, we were pulled up, and she was arguing with me because she was like, I don't want to have to get milkshakes when I'm a grown-up. And I was saying to her, you don't have to have milkshakes.
Freedom of choice. She'll be able to do whatever she wants.
If you don't want to have to get milkshakes when you're a grown-up. And then she kept getting more agitated and angry. So I hit record trying to figure out what the problem was.
Why are you upset now?
Because I don't want to get milkshakes when I grow up.
You don't have to have milkshakes when you grow up.
No, I do want milkshakes. see.
Oh, now you want them.
Yeah. Angels don't want to buy them when they grow up.
Okay, so you want them to be for free when you grow up?
Yeah.
Okay, when you grow up, you can have free milkshakes. Is that better? All right, good.
It took me 10 minutes to figure out why she was screaming like a maniac. She doesn't want to have to grow up and pay for the milkshakes. She just wants them to be free for her entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. That I mean, she's not paying for them now.
No.
So, right. So
she realized that
I understand,
day,
right.
The milkshake train is going to run out. And then what is she going to do?
That's the day you die, though. I'm thinking until then, they're paid for, right?
What'd you do this week to earn your margarita? 1-800-330-9999. Chelsea.
I prepped for the Super Bowl like it was my job. I got the snacks, I got the ingredients, I got the mixers, I've got everything I need to host like 45 people for this game, and I'm bringing it.
45 is a lot of people to have at your house to watch the game.
You're not wrong. Some of them are kids. So they may kind of like hang out outside and kind of keep it casual. We only really have like one TV, but we're going to set up like a external monitor in the kitchen so people can kind of like keep up if they're in there kind of refilling their plate. So I think it'll work.
The most important thing is this an Eagles house or a Chiefs house?
We are a house divided.
Oh. Well, that makes for a good game.
Yeah, no, it'll be fun. It'll be dramatic.
Margarita, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
I work at a school. I take care of 15 3-year-olds till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I go to another school and work with 15 5-year-olds till 5:30. I earned more than one margarita.
No, you 100% did.
I feel like you're so sticky all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
right. You know, honestly, I would carry you into happy hour. If you were watching out for my kids, you know, like I feel like all the parents should send the kids to another sitter sometime during the week or whatever and take you out one time and carry you in like you just scored the winning touchdown.
I always wonder what goes on during the classes, because Dakota, my preschooler,
chaos.
She comes out, Raven, it's like she had been through a war. Her backpack is half falling off her back,
yeah.
Right? She's got this faraway look in her eye, she's got banana swiped all over her face, the boogers are coming down, her hands are covered in paint.
Not in my class.
Not in her class, Margarita's handling that nonsense. They come out looking pristine, right? It's Margarita that walks out like that.
Well, Margarita, you certainly deserve your margarita. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up to you to decide who's right. Drew and Holly. Oh, boy. Holly, what's going on?
Oh, my gosh. My husband and I have this, like, in-law apartment type thing, and we've had tenants before. Anyway, my little sister was going through some hard times, as usual. Didn't have a place to stay, was just kind of floating around, staying in her car, and she knew that our previous tenant was getting ready to leave, and she asked if she could rent, and I really had reservations about it, but she convinced me that everything would be all good, and everything would be great, and she'd pay the rent on time, and so on and so forth. No, that did not happen. Did not see a red penny. She was there for about 4 months or so, and didn't pay anything, and moved out, owes us like $3,200. And still, after 3 months, still nothing from her, and kind of ghosting us. And I want to sue her. I want to take her to court, teach her a lesson that she just can't do this. We could have had another tenant. We're out $3,200. And plus, then we had to clean it and everything because she was, well, you know, not the best housekeeper. I want to take her to court and sue her.
Okay. And Drew, you don't want to sue your sister-in-law.
No. See, I think that this is something that's going to make my wife feel better on her end, but I keep trying to tell her that this is just going to cause huge problems in this family. Like, her mom's going to be upset, her dad's going to be upset, like, definitely his sister's going to be upset, and this isn't the kind of thing that, you know, goes away after a little bit of time. I mean, we're still going to have to do holidays with these people. We're still going to have to do get-togethers. And with this on the table, it's just insane.
I tend to agree. I mean, Holly, I think that for me, the biggest thing that I'm hearing, and I get it, it's extremely frustrating. Listen, I've had family. I've had people that you're doing favors for write you a bad check or whatever for big amounts. Not quite in $3,000-$4,000 range, but $2,500, certainly. you know, you think that a lesson is going to be learned. First off, you have no guarantee that your sister would even show up for small claims court. Secondly, let's say you get the claim. There's no guarantee that she's going to pay you, even if they tell you that you can garnish your wages. Thirdly, you think that you're going to teach her a lesson. You're not. She's not going to come back and say, you know what? What I did was wrong. I'm sorry. Here's your money after you sue her. She's never going to talk to you again.
Right. But then,
and your mother.
The flip side is she's ghosted. She's being... She didn't pay. She left the place a mess.
I mean, but money's just money. You're talking about your family the rest of your life.
Yeah, but I don't think that this is about the money.
Right.
I think it's about Holly wanting to prove to her sister that you can't do this. This is not what responsible people do, and there's consequences to your actions.
So, but the price of that is you never speak to your sister again. That's the price, because it's blood from a stone, right? I mean, what can you sue her for if she doesn't really have a great job or whatever now? She's probably going to run right back into this pattern of behavior again and in the future. Your parents are not going to be thrilled. It's going to be a mess. Take every Thanksgiving, take every Christmas, take every holiday that you celebrate, and then consider what that does to the rest of them in the future. I don't know.
I understand your frustration, Holly. You tried to do her a solid and be a good big sister and give her a place to stay when no one else would take her in. And she took advantage of you. She took advantage of the situation. She took advantage of your family. And this is your way to acknowledge it. Like, hey, you can pack up your stuff and leave and ghost me, but it doesn't mean that I'm gone forever. I'm your sister. Let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you. Yeah, go for it. What do you have to lose at this point? Maybe, if anything, it'll be a wake-up call. But they may see Drew's side, too. It's just going to cause more problems than anything. And if that's her stripes, those are her stripes. It's not going to change her.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Drew and Holly have a rental apartment in their home. And when Holly's younger sister was having issues finding a place to rent because her credit was terrible, she had a bad track record with
She was in her car at the time.
It's not a good... Yeah.
It's not a good situation.
Holly said, you got it. I'm going to give you a reduced rent. It's going to work out. And you know what? She stayed there for a bunch of months and she never paid a single penny. And now she's ghosted her. Left the place a mess, completely gone. $3,200 she owes her. And Holly's mad at her little sister.
Sure.
She's real mad. She's like, I did this for you. So she wants to sue her to teach her a lesson about responsibility. But Drew thinks it's just a bad idea.
Here's the thing, man. Nobody's going to learn a lesson that way, right? And you're going to be the villain in your family. This is Drew's point. He's like, no matter what, you know who your sister is when you go to move them in. I'll tell you this, just from personal experience, when you sue somebody, if somebody is willing to write you a bad check or no check at all or whatever, that same person is willing to quit a job if you garnish their wages, leave that place of employment, and ghost again. You're not going to see that money.
But is it even about the money? Or is it just about teaching her how to be responsible and these are the consequences to your actions? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Rick, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side, Rave. It's Holly did what she had to do for her sister. It didn't work out. You definitely don't want to bring her to court because, like her husband says, it's going to be a lot of friction to the family.
Yeah.
Friction sometimes rubbed too hard goes into a fire.
Yeah. Yeah, you might be right. Well, I like the way you said that. Very ominous.
Right.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. He's out of fire. Is that okay to sue your sister? That's what's going on with Drew and Holly. Holly, you know, her sister was having a hard time. Didn't have a place to live. Didn't have good credit. Was living in her car. Said, come live in our in-law apartment. We'll charge you very little rent. The thing is her sister moved in, never paid a penny, then ghosted her, left the place a mess. Holly is so furious that her sister did this that she wants to sue her for the $3,200 that she owes her.
I mean, you're not really going to teach somebody anything, right? I mean, this is already an adult. And her sister, this is a pattern of behavior that's been going on for a while. She was staying in her car for a few days before this. Holly, if you did it, you did it. You might have known it was going to end badly from the get-go, but Drew just says, listen, if you sue your sister, we're not going to get the cash. That's not going to matter. She's not going to learn anything, and your parents, they're going to be pissed.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi. I'm on the husband's side. The sister knew what she was getting herself into. She had hesitation. She did it anyway. And she proved herself right. And that's the lesson. Move on. Don't sue your sister. it's not really about the sister. I'm more concerned about the parents and the relationship there. I think the husband's right.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's Thank the thing you. That even if somebody tells you it's cool, it's never going to be cool. It's always going to be there. And, you know, the money.
It's sure, always going to be awkward.
Yeah. And it would be nice to get the money back, but you're not going to.
I don't know. It's never going to get them about
yeah,
the money.
You're never gonna
it's
get
never going to be about the money.
You're right. Never.
Hey, Donna, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. I totally understand the sister being very upset that she got screwed by her kid sister again. But all she's going to end up doing is costing herself legal fees. If the sister was living out of her car to begin with, she doesn't have any money to pay her back.
Exactly.
Even if she ended up winning in small claims court. So it's just going to be a lot of aggravation for no gain. What she has right now is she has the right to badmouth her to the rest of the family, and the family can't say boo about that. And that's about the best she's going to get out of this situation. Suing her sister, she's not going to get anything but more costs, and she's going to be blamed by the family for being a bad person.
Hey, Anna and Raven, whose side are you on today?
Hi, we're on his side. We think that suing your own family is a bit extreme, but they should make her pay or just never really talk to her.
How about lawn work, right? Mm-hmm. Like, get them back over there to do lawn work.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Drew, our audience agreed with you today. You know, Holly, as much as you think it'll make you feel better, it won't. And all it'll do Seriously. Is cause more problems. So you're going to have to just suck it up, take the loss, and, you know, see where the relationship pans out in the future.
I am so glad that people sided with me. I'm telling you, it's going to make the holidays so much easier.
Holly, I get it. It's infuriating, right? And you know, part of your frustration, I'm sure, is the fact that you knew this was going to happen. As you said, you had your reservations. You were upset about it. But you tried to help because you're a big sister.
Yeah.
You know, the old saying is the things we do, we don't do them for them. We do them for ourselves, right? So you tried to do the right thing. You got burned. It's probably going to change your opinion on doing it in the future. But I think that your family is going to be better off.
Okay.
That doesn't sound very convincing, but all right, I get it.
I mean, just key your car.
No, that's not nice. No.
I mean, egg it at Thanksgiving.
No.
You know, when you walk out the door, do something petty to feel good.
I don't think that's the way to
that's
go either.
All.
If you have a problem, too, send an email. Couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,600. Jessica, you ready to do this?
I am ready.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Jessica.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now let's do this. So Raven's walking out of here. That door will eventually close. And I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. You have about 3 seconds to answer each one. Bring him back in. Ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to do this, girl?
I hope.
All right. Fingers crossed. All right, number one, Pamela Anderson said her iconic Baywatch swimsuit still fits, and she puts it on occasionally to see if she still has it. What color is the bathing suit?
Red.
Number two, Jim Carrey listed his longtime home in L.A. for $29 million. He plays Dr. Eggman in what recent movie series?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Number three, Better Call Saul actor Bob Odenkirk was named the 2023 Hasty Pudding Man of the Year. What Massachusetts college gives out the award for the Hasty Pudding Man of the Year?
Boston College.
Number four, Ben Stiller will reprise his role as Derek Zoolander for an upcoming Pepsi commercial during the Super Bowl. What's the name of the famous pose that Zoolander uses while modeling?
The Strike.
And number five, Rihanna said there were 39 different versions of her set list for the halftime show on Sunday, and it was difficult to pick the final songs. What company is sponsoring the halftime show for the first time?
Pepsi?
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Oh, no.
Jessica only got 2 out of 5.
Not great, Jessica. Let's say I do.
$1,600.
Number one, Pamela Anderson said her iconic Baywatch swimsuit still fits. And she puts it on occasionally to see if she still has it.
Okay.
What color is the bathing suit?
Red. That's easy.
Yes. Number two, Jim Carrey listed his longtime home in L.A. for $29 million. He plays Dr. Eggman in what recent movie series?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes, you guys are tied. Number three, Better Call Saul actor Bob Odenkirk was named the 2023 Hasty Pudding Man of the Year.
Nice.
What Massachusetts college gives out that award?
Isn't that Harvard?
Harvard is correct.
They do a parade and all that? Yeah.
Number four, Ben Stiller will reprise his role as Derek Zoolander for an upcoming Pepsi commercial during the Super Bowl.
Perfect.
What's the name of the famous pose that Zoolander uses when modeling?
Blue Steel?
Correct.
All right.
Blue Steel was the original duck lips. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
Yeah, and he still's got it, I'm sure. I'm sure he can still do it well.
Number five, Rihanna said there were 39 different versions of her set list for the halftime show on Sunday, and it was difficult to pick the final songs.
Oh, wow.
What company is sponsoring the halftime show for the first time?
Is it Apple?
Apple Music, yeah.
Woo!
Okay. Jessica, Pepsi has been like the half, I mean, for like 15 years.
Right.
It's been so long.
And
yeah.
With a Pepsi-related question before you tried to rope-a-dope me.
Yeah.
I see what you did.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Jessica. He beat you 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
My name is Jessica, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,700 Monday, Anna.